And the meeting of the House Special Committee on Energy will come to order. It is now 3:08 p.m. Tuesday, March 1st, 2011. We are here in the Ramona Barnes Committee Room of the Alaska Capitol Room 124. Members present, Representative Peterson, Representative Sadler, Co-Chair Pruitt, Representative Bob Lynn, and myself, Representative Foster. And let the record reflect that we have a quorum to conduct business. Please remember to turn off cell phones, including myself. And today we continue public hearings on House Bill 103, the Governor's Parnell's measure to authorize the Alaska Energy Authority to build a large hydroelectric dam in the lower Wetana area on the Susitna River. And we are joined by Representative Kurt Olson. Since we started in January, we have had 5 committee hearings on the project or the bill. All the documents from these meetings are posted online in BASIS. As I announced last Thursday, it's my intent that we start committee work on HB 103 on Tuesday, March 8th. And if the committee members have amendments to the bill, I'd ask that they be turned in 24 hours before that hearing by 3 p.m. on Monday, March 7th. March 8th, by the way, is day 50 of the 90-day session. So before we start today with testimony, it's worth noting that the Alaska Energy Authority has been holding public meetings on the rail belt, a large hydro project. Last Thursday, they held those in Fairbanks. Last night, those were held in Talkeetna. More than 100 people showed up for the Talkeetna hearing, a resident told my office today, so just FYI. AEA's hearings continue tonight in Palmer. Tomorrow they will be held in Anchorage, and Tuesday they will, March 15, they'll be held in Kenai. So now let's move on to public testimony. If members of the public want to send us copies of their testimony, we'll gladly take those and post them online. You can email those to house_energy@legis.state.ak.us, or you may fax those to 465-3242. At this time, we don't plan to put a time limit on testimony unless it looks like it's going to be needed to allow everyone to testify at this point. It looks like we have five people online, and I don't believe anyone in the audience, maybe. If members, let's see here. Okay, so with that, I think we're going to go ahead and get started. On the line here, we've got Becky Long from Talkeetna. Becky, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, Representative.
Okay, if you could please state your name and spell it so that our clerk can get the spelling correct and your affiliation, and please proceed with testimony. Thank you, Becky.
Thank you. Yes, this is Becky Long, B-E-C-K-Y-L-O-N-G, and I am from the Talkeetna Trapper Creek area. And I wanted to speak on HB 103 because this seems to be the one place in the state process where there will be a legal go-ahead for the Susitna Dam. And sorry it's taken me so long to get up to snuff on this whole process with HB 103, but you know, as you said, we are in the middle of Alaska Energy Authority open house presentations. We've had two, and there's three more to go. Last night, I think they're at the Talkeetna meeting, I was there, and I think there was more like 150 people that were there, and 99 questions were asked. We had to write our questions down on their file cards and submit them. There was no opportunity for discussion, comments, and follow-up questions. And people were pretty frustrated that we couldn't have, like, testimony or public comment. And a lot of the questions involved a lack of commitment on the part of the state agencies to commit to energy efficiency and conservation. There was a lot of asking questions about the impacts on fish, on the northern Susitna economy and people's livelihoods, a lot of question on seismic siltation, and a lot of the answers were from the facilitators, which is consultant HDO, and also from AEA, that we don't know the answers for these. We do have data from the 1980 previous Alaska Power Authority studies, but we're going to have more studies, and there just seemed like to be more questions than there were answers, and we take this project very seriously, so we were, a lot of us were pretty frustrated. When we ask about a public process that allows participation in the actual state decision making on having Susitna Dam be the major mega dam project, the AEA told us at least three times last night that the legislature will ultimately give them the go-ahead. But when somebody would ask him, well, how is the legislature going to do that? He just said, well, they're going to give us the go-ahead. And he didn't really figure out about, he didn't tell us about HB 103, but we kind of figured it out amongst ourselves that it seems like this is going to be the only place where we'll have be able to comment to the state on whether we should have a go-ahead on this. Now, the AEA says that there will be plenty of time later on in the whole process on the federal level at the FERC licensing project for public comment. But that is then, and now is now, when we're starting to commit. There's a big momentum to commit huge state resources to what we figure out is going to be the largest state subsidy in Alaska history. So if HB 103 is the only way to have a public process, then I mean, if this is the only chance I have to say whether I'm for or against the dam, I'm telling you I'm against it. And I think we need a public process. And I would also think that you guys would want to take testimony from the Alaska Energy Authority about these meetings after the meetings are done. And it sure would be nice if there was an opportunity for more public testimony after these AEA meetings are over with, because a lot of people have a lot of questions and they may would like there to be some way to have a public discussion. And, I mean, we need to have a way that the state hears us about important fiscal, consumer issues, and environmental issues that need to be considered before we commit to significant state resources to this project. Thank you.
thank you, Ms. Long. Are there any questions of the committee, Representative Lynn?
Thank you very much for your testimony. What's your major objection to the dam? You were making comments about the process, but I didn't hear any real objection to the dam other than saying that you had an objection. Could you make a few comments on the generality, at least, of your objection?
Yes, I will. And the reason why I didn't say anything is because I didn't know if you wanted to turn this into actual testimony on Susitna. Well, people are afraid of their livelihoods being impacted by negative impacts on fisheries and the environment. We're worried about a boom-bust economy. We're worried about is this actually going to give us cheaper rates as ratepayers on the electrical grid. There, you know, people just are worried about putting all our eggs in one basket with one mega project, and we realize there's this legislative mandate for 50% renewables by 2025, and that sounds really great, and we're really into that, but is one project going to fulfill all of that? And we just, there's just this siltation. There was even their data on the seismic faults. What they told us in the meeting was even inaccurate according to their own preliminary decision. And I'm not saying that they were lying, but I'm saying that there's a lot of questions out there. There's a lot of things that need to be defined and are not being defined.
Thank you very much. I think, at least speaking personally, one of the reasons why I at this point at least, you know, favor the dam, is that we, in fact, do not want to put all of our eggs in one basket. We want to develop our oil resources, fill the pipeline. We need to get gas moving, built by somebody going someplace, you know, at some time. The other economic development processes out there also. And so to me, if there's in fact a Susitna Dam or any other dam, one of the reasons is, of course, is to broaden our energy resources and not put all of our eggs in one basket. Right now, somewhere, I don't know, 90-95% of our income, you know, it comes from oil. Our main source of income used to be oil and Ted Stevens. Well, we only have oil now. You know, one of my major driving forces, at this point at least, on the dam, is to broaden the resources that we have to depend on here. So I'd like to hear more about potential problems with that dam, you know, i.e. fault lines potentially or anything else. Somebody, I forget who, has already mentioned the fisheries. Apparently, the salmon don't go up that far. And so I really appreciate you calling in.
Representative Sadler?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Long, I appreciate your concern. I appreciate your diligence in finding out about the committee hearing and the bill's progress, but I want to assure you this is certainly not the only opportunity. You or the folks in Talpeed or anywhere will have to comment on this Susitna Dam proposal. This is the authorized legislation, certainly, but there's no way we could sneak a 700-foot, $4.5 billion dam past anybody. So this is the early stages, and I'm pretty sure there's going to be a National Environmental Policy Act process where there will be scoping meetings, draft EISs, and opportunities for public comment right on down the line. So you're actually involved early in the process. This is by no means trying to sneak it through.
Representative Pruitt?
Yeah, thank you, Ms. Long, for calling in. There's a couple of things that I wanted to just mention for you. Some of the questions that it sounded like you asked, and you might not have gotten your answers for, we've asked in this committee. And what I want to kind of make you aware of is all of this public testimony is available. It's available online. You can access it through what we call it BASIS. What I'll do here is I'm going to take just a quick second, and I'm going to read for you a web address where you can go and look up HB 103 and find out all the testimony that's been out there. It's www.legis.state.ak.us. Okay? What I would also suggest is if you have problems with that, that you can please actually call either, you could either call my office, as I'm co-chair, or my co-chair, Representative Foster. My office is 465-3438, and what we'll do is we'll direct you to BASIS so you can get that testimony. What I wanted to clarify, though, is just make sure that you understand this bill itself is not a yes or no to Susitna or a Watonna Dam. It is not the go-ahead to build the project. What this bill does is it creates an organization that has the ability to potentially own, build, or operate a Watonna Dam, but also has the ability to do the same thing for other smaller projects that are related to energy throughout the state. That can include not just hydro projects, but everything from wind projects out in the rural areas. It could be solar projects and that we've dealt with. So there's a little bit, I just wanted to assure you, there's a little bit more to this particular bill and the creation of the Alaska Energy Authority than just being the yes or no on the project. Like my colleague mentioned just a moment ago, there will be additional times for you and some of your friends and colleagues there to be a part of the process.
Are there further questions of the committee? Ms. Long, we appreciate your testimony. If we could move over to, I think, in the same office at the LIO, and Matt Sue, Cheryl Hines, Cheryl, are you there?
I'm here. Thank you. Good afternoon, everybody.
If you could spell your name for the record and your affiliation, proceed with your testimony.
Okay. Cheryl Hines, C-H-E-R-Y-L-L, Hines, H-E-I-N-Z-E. And currently I'm Director of Governmental and Public Affairs for Matanuska Electric. Today I'll be speaking for Joe Griffith, who is tied up in a trial, but I will be speaking on his behalf for ARCTEC. Most of you know that ARCTEC is the Alaska Rail Belt Cooperative Transmission and Electric Company, which is five utilities, Golden Valley, Homer, Chugach, Matanuska, Homer, and Seward, all coming together to form a cooperative. I sent down Resolution 11-002 that was passed by ARCTEC, so you all have it. Rather than me read the entire resolution, I'd just like to read the last paragraph. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the legislature grant the Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority with the powers necessary to accomplish the objectives stated in state statute, including the power to issue taxable and tax-exempt bonds, and that the legislature grant the Alaskan Energy Authority the right to acquire ownership interests in projects as provided in state statute. Passed and approved by the Board of Directors of ARCTEC this 14th day of January 2011. So basically that's the testimony from ARCTEC, that they are very much behind this bill and very concerned that the companion bill, Senate Bill, I think 42, you know, we're anxious to follow that one also. So on that note, that kind of closes what I was going to say on House Bill 103. I also was up at Talkeetna last night, and there were a lot of folks there. And I want to say this, that one person stood up and asked this very simple question. If the dam broke, would the citizens of Talkeetna survive? Now, picture yourself somewhere asking this question, and the answer was, well, we do need to study that. So in my opinion, it really didn't go very well last night, whether they were a bit premature or you know, they didn't quite have their answers together. But for such a simple question, I mean, that's kind of the beginning of where do you start. So we certainly want House Bill 103 to pass, but at the same time, you know, there's a lot of fear out there. So anyway, I want just to let you all know that, and is there anything we can do on this end for you guys?
First of all, I'd like to recognize Cheryl Hines as a past representative of this body, and I believe that Representative Peterson may have a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Hi, Cheryl.
Hey.
I was just going to tell you that I asked that same question about if the dam broke, would Talkeetna be flooded, and I was assured that it's far enough downstream that there would be no large effect on Talkeetna. So I don't.
Hey, great! Send that gentleman to Talkeetna, because you know we really kind of need to nip this in the bud. I mean, that, you know, I own a cabin up there and I live there half the year, and you know I was going, wow. So let's maybe see if this gentleman could go up there and try it again.
Thank you.
Representative Pruitt?
Ms. Hines, do you know who all was there? Was it just representatives of AEA, or were there also, because I know that when they've presented here, they've had the opportunity to bring some of their engineers that could actually answer some of those questions. Did they bring them along with them to Talkeetna?
They had two or three engineers, a hydrologist, a wildlife biologist, and a moderator.
Okay, and then follow up?
One from the electrical company that represents the utilities.
Okay.
So I think the people really didn't understand. A lot of the questioning, too, was in the feeling of what I think Mary's just saying, put all our eggs in one basket. They're not really getting the whole picture of that this really isn't all our eggs in one basket, and that we have to do something, and this is one of the renewable answers that we're looking at for, you know, 10 years from now. So I think we just all need to do a better job on getting the message out.
Representative Pruitt?
Ms. Hines, obviously, as someone that's involved, being part of MEA and formerly being a member of this body and having a little understanding and experience there, what was your take if you had been there not as someone who was aware of what's going on? Would you have felt that the information was communicated effectively? Were the people that were there, were they knowledgeable in what was taking place? Were they knowledgeable in the situation, the people that were attending? Or was this kind of were they all a blank slate, for lack of a better term?
Well, if you mean blank slate, were they wanting information? Absolutely. Were they wanting to learn? Absolutely. Are they smart folks? Absolutely. Did they get the answers they needed? No, not by a long shot. I was, in fact, at one point I went up to one of the engineers and I said, you know, Joe Griffith is here as CEO of MEA. He could help. He could help get some of this information. And the answer was no, so we just sat by quietly and watched. The thing that concerns me is the fear. They're not getting the information. Everything is, well, in the 80s we had this study. Well, that was, what, 20 years ago. And, gee, we're going to study this in the future. And I understand that we're going to need some studies, and so do people. But we still need some answers, you know, for these folks. Simple answers like, you know, can you get your boat up there? Like Mahaise, can they get their boat up to Devil's Canyon? Well, what will happen? Will they be flooded? You know, some very simple, straightforward answers.
Yeah, I just wanted to clarify. Did people that were there, was this new for them? What I'm trying to gauge is how much knowledge is out there about the project itself. That's kind of what I'm trying to gauge. You know, what the public, the people like you and I mean, we see it every day because of the nature of our jobs, but what the
right.
public, what their understanding of what's going on. I think that that can play into a little bit of really our decision making that goes here.
Okay. Yeah, and I understand where you're going with it. I think it's fragmented. I think the information is not really there. Not that they're a blank slate, but they have, you know, a couple of drops in the well. They just don't know. So there's a huge job of getting information out, particularly to these folks in Talkeetna. They don't know much, to answer your question.
So it sounds like
they're getting bits and pieces, and they don't really know quite how to put it all together and the why of putting it all together.
So it sounds like we need an authority that this is all they do so that they can communicate that?
Right, right. And, you know, we'll be glad to help. MEA would be very happy to step up to the plate and try to help everyone in the state understand why we're looking at this and how important this is. But first we've got to tell them their livelihood and their lives are not, you know, hanging in the balance of this.
I believe we have a question from Representative Lynn.
Well, not as a question. It's really good to hear from you again, Cheryl. Glad you called in.
Thank you, Bob. Good to hear you.
And we do miss you, and also miss the. Okay.
Oh, funny. Okay, Bob. Thank you.
Other further questions, Representative Sadler?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, Ms. Hines, Dan Sadler here. I would also just like to pass on through you to the rest of the folks there that these are important questions, and we did ask the question about the seismic hazards, and we were told that there's certainly Alaska's a seismic region, but other similarly sized dams in Iceland, Greenland? The one we can't pronounce, can certainly withstand the anticipated seismic shocks, and also that this is not putting all the eggs in one basket. That I know just in this committee and elsewhere in the legislature, we are still considering support for the weatherization and improved efficiency, natural gas, geothermal, and hydro, and small hydro. So this is not one solution to every energy problem in Alaska. And it's still relatively early in the process. So people are asking good questions, but I would encourage them not to leap from fear and not having all the answers to this is going to be a disaster, because I don't think it's going to be. No.
No, and I agree with you, Representative Sadler. And, you know, people were looking at why not tidal, why not hydro, why not, well, and they got some answers, but we just need to do a better job. I felt bad for the folks, and I felt bad for AEA. I felt bad for both sides. Because, in my opinion, if I rated it 1 to 5, I would give it about a 1. Maybe 2.
Further questions for Ms. Hines? Seeing none, if we could move on to Jim Sykes there at the Mat-Su LIO. Are you still there, Jim?
Yes, I am. Thank you very much, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. If you could spell your name and then your affiliation, proceed with testimony.
My name is Jim, J-I-M, Sykes, S as in Superman, Y, K-E-S. I'm speaking for myself today. I would like to note that I did serve for about 3 years as an advisor to the Rail Belt Integrated Resource Plan, RARP, and its predecessor, which acronym I can't remember, but it sounded better than RERP. Mm-hmm. But I would like to say that the bill has a good concept to it. I think the AEA has a lot of wonderful qualified people working in it. The energy portfolio is so large they deserve to carry it by themselves. I was a little bit puzzled to see that this bill puts two ADA board members, and the folks at ADA are wonderful people too. It just kind of looked to me like we're dating other people now, but we should start to keep seeing each other. I couldn't figure out why they were designated. I was actually hoping that if there were going to be designated board members, there would be such people as consumer advocates and people who work in natural resources, people who are elderly and ratepayers, a broader cross-section of the public that isn't necessarily experts in energy, or even if you wanted to make it an advisory board. I think this is extremely important, and such public input has worked well in Hawaii, where they have a similarly weak system. Across the state, we do have, if you take a look at your boards and commissions, you do have designated seats, and when I sat on the public advisory group with former legislator Norm Rothberg, we really had a wonderful process. But the one thing that we demanded, or didn't demand, we asked for, I guess, was that we meet with the utilities who are the subject of this integrated resource plan. And the utilities met separately from the public group, and the public group and the utility group actually never met together. And I think this was a really big missed opportunity. I think there were a lot of wonderful ideas, and we might have even gotten a bill through the last legislature if these groups had been able to come together. So I think that more public involvement with non-experts is really the key to having people have a stake in the process and in the projects that come about it. One of the other things that caught my eye was the ability of AEA to create subsidiary corporations. Now, that's understandable in the business sense, but I didn't see any guardrails for when this would happen or why it would happen or what public oversight there would be or other public involvement. So I'm a little troubled by the carte blanche approach to once you create this new entity that they can pretty much do whatever they want without any advice. In terms of what projects are looked at, now I'm not quite clear on what this does. It looks like it could facilitate the building of a Susitna Dam, but at the same time, I wouldn't want that to preclude some other projects which don't have the same sort of momentum. We have. It's my gut feeling that tidal power, that basically windmills sitting on the seafloor, are going to advance technologically so far in the next 5 years that they can both be constructed, phased in, and financed more cheaply long before Susitna Dam can be built. Now, I agree with the concept of alternatives for stable, cheap, and long-term power. But the other factor in that goes along with these technologies that are emerging so quickly is energy efficiency. Now, if we simply take ArcTech, which is now formed, it's the perfect opportunity to coordinate energy efficiency with performance-based contracting, which the state already has experience with. You know, back in 2004 or 5, they decided to upgrade, I believe it was 8 buildings that were Department of Transportation buildings. All of those investments have been repaid, and I believe that the state has now saved over $1 million on those 8 buildings. I was meeting with a CEO of one of the utilities not long ago. People are getting this. They are improving the weatherization in their houses and using the program that the legislature funded. They are updating their machinery. But a coordinated effort would help the utilities and the legislature anticipate exactly what is needed in the future. So you get energy savings. You need less power to be generated, and you create local jobs in the process. So right now we're taking about I don't know what it is, 5 billion kilowatt hours of usage in the rail belt. If you just reduce 3% per year for 15 years, that could be cut in half, and so you wouldn't need a 700 foot high dam. And so I think that we need to really explore, have a mechanism that. It's not just a place for AEA to fund a project. We understand that dams can be built. We understand that many of these projects can be built. But how do you make sure it's the best project? I'll just make a side note, since you're not really taking testimony on Susitna itself, but I had an opportunity to watch the evaluation of Susitna while I was being an advisor at the AEA. And it seemed to me that what was going on was that the dam was being moved up and downstream and up and down in height until they could get the cost under $5 billion, which is what they thought they could sell to the legislature. Now, maybe they can sell it to the legislature, but you don't really know if you've got the most efficient use of your money or if that's the best project that should be built on the Susitna River. And so I think that, as you said, this is requires a lot more evaluation, but I disagree to some extent. It really is, in terms of renewable projects, if you're basically talking water or whatnot, it is really the big project in isolation from all the other projects. And I'm guessing that if the geothermal turns out at Mount Spur and tidal does become off-the-shelf technology, even if it doesn't, we should be on the leading edge of it because we have so much tidal potential that we should be able to have our own Alaskans installed in the future. But we shouldn't miss this opportunity. So if this is a mechanism to fund a dam such as Susitna, we should make sure that since that's such a long-term process, that we have a parallel process going with other renewables that spends a similar amount of money encouraging, developing, and evaluating those other alternatives. Other thing I didn't notice. Well, I have tremendous confidence in everybody at the Energy Authority. They're just a wonderful bunch of qualified, delightful people. I just wonder, a project of this size, what keeps being talked about is this is like Bradley Lake. We're going to use the same financing scheme, and we're going to do the project in the same kind of way. This is a larger, much larger process than Bradley Lake. It's kind of like comparing a teacup with a bathtub full of water. And when you get to a project of this size, I think it really needs to have a lot more cross-pollination from the public, from people who have served as engineers, geologists, people who have experience living in the area, so that you do get a better project if you decide to build it. And I just want to make sure that there's some kind of guardrail in there, that it's just not unlimited to what the AEA can do. Not that they can't handle the project, but there needs to be more involvement and consideration and research for the larger projects. That's what I'm trying to get at.
Jim, if you could summarize, I just want to make sure that other folks get an opportunity in case they have to take off also.
Yeah, I pretty much covered what I intended to say, and I really thank you for reviewing this. I think it's very important, and I hope that you do create an autonomous AEA. I just hope that you add in some of these other details that I think are extremely important as the bill moves along, and I thank you for considering it, and I thank you for the opportunity to testify.
Thank you, Mr. Sykes. Are there any questions of the committee? Seeing none, if we could move to the Kenai LIO. And there, Brad, are you still online?
Yeah, good afternoon, Chairman Foster and members of the committee. I am.
Okay, if you could spell your name for the record and also your affiliation and proceed with testimony. Thank you.
Sure, Brad Janorski, J-A-N-O-R-S-C-H-K-E. I am general manager at Homer Electric Association. We serve essentially the western half of the Kenai Peninsula. And, Mr. Chair, I will keep my comments brief. And I'd just like to state that Homer Electric does support House Bill 103 as written. We support the expansion of the statutory powers of AEA that would, at a minimum, allow the agency to acquire, construct, or own any interest in a project or any right to capacity of a project or perform the feasibility studies, design, and engineering work respective to that power. As you had mentioned earlier, Mr. Sykes had made the comment on Bradley Lake, and I'm not sure if you're aware, Homer Electric does the operation and maintenance for Bradley Lake, which is the state's largest, currently their largest hydro facility in Alaska. And it is an excellent example of what AEA could do back then. And yes, it is a much smaller project, about a fifth the size of what is being proposed with Lower Owatonna, but it certainly is a good start, and I think it's one of their largest successes so far. Beyond that, as a rail belt electric utility that depends on natural gas for about 92% of our energy needs, our members are very much aware of the consequences of having all of our eggs in one basket. I think I heard that referred to earlier. Small-scale renewable projects, conservation, promoting conservation, they're all fine efforts, but we do need to find ways to reduce our dependence on natural gas for base-loaded generation. Other than large-scale hydro and the geothermal work that I know is going on, I am unclear what other base-loaded options we have before us that are realistically available today. So, in closing, Mr. Chair, HEA supports the governor's proposed budget efforts on the project, and thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak. Any questions?
Are there any questions for Brad? Representative Pruitt? Sadler?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Janarski, I just want to make sure you said you support I want to make sure there was distinctions. You're saying you do support the bill in its entirety, or what was it exactly you were expressing support for there?
Through the chair, yes, that is correct, Representative Pruitt. We do support the HB 103 as written.
Good. Thank you, sir.
Okay, Representative Pruitt?
Thank you, Brad. I want to ask you just really briefly, since part of this bill relates to giving AEA the authority to not only build and construct, but also the operation aspect. And you did hit on the fact that you currently do the operations for Bradley Lake, I believe, as contracted to AEA, if that's correct. Can you talk to me a little bit about the relationship that you currently have and how you feel that giving AEA the authority, more like they had when Bradley Lake was initially built, how that would change the relationship, and would you feel that that would definitely be a good thing for you guys down there, since obviously there's more than just the Sitna involved here.
Sure, thank you. Through the chair, I believe that was Representative Pruitt.
Yeah.
Ask question. I don't think it would change anything for us. One of the things, you are correct, today we operate, maintain, and we say we do it on behalf of the state on their asset, but ultimately the Rail Belt Utilities, or the participating Rail Belt Utilities that buy power off that facility, pay the operating costs. And so what we would envision is any asset that is on the Rail Belt, as an example, if AEA owned it, we would certainly encourage them as the rate payers and the folks paying for it, for them to use the most economical means to maintain and operate that asset. And so even if this bill passed, I would suspect the other Rail Belt utility would still encourage Homer Electric, due to our geographically close proximity to the project, to continue with those services. Pretty much the same way if there was an asset located up in the valley, I suspect those responsibilities, if the state did not have the expertise to do that competitively, I would anticipate another utility that had experience in whatever type of asset they owned that would take over that responsibility. So I don't see it would change a whole lot. Does that answer your question?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you, Representative Sadler.
Thank you, sir. Hey, Brad, we heard from some people in Talkeetna that there were questions at the very early stages of this regarding the safety, the impact on their economy and way of life and so forth. From your perspective, can you give us some idea what were the fears expressed about Bradley Lake before it was built and how well those have been answered or not?
Representative Sadler, through the chair, to be honest with you, I've been on the Kenai Peninsula since 2004, and Bradley Lake came online, and I think it was early 91 is when it was actually came online, and so that predates me. But from what I understand, there were some significant concerns with the Bradley Lake project. Some were environmental, some were price. In fact, I am, and somebody can correct me if I'm wrong, but at the time in the early 90s when Bradley came online, it was one of the most expensive sources of electric energy on the Rail Belt. And from the last numbers I've seen today, it is the second lowest, only behind Healy Unit 1. And so there were challenges. Some of you may or may not be aware that Homer Electric is currently doing our due diligence on a proposed small-scale hydro project up in near Moose Pass on the north end of the Kenai Peninsula. And having a public meeting last summer with FERC, we heard probably a lot of the same comments the folks up at AEA heard at Talkeetna last night. And I know we've heard comments recently that HEA took those comments and continued to modify the design to the point to try and bring as much community support as possible. And to do that right out of the get-go is virtually impossible. But through the design work we've done, or the redesign work, we have a lot of folks that originally were opposed to that small project are now coming back to us and saying, you know, it looks like it's changing enough that it certainly deserves an objective, a second look at it. And we are hoping that continues as we work. And so I would caution, not having been at the meeting last night until Talkeetna, that even members of the public is, you know, it's pretty difficult to design a project that 100% of the public will support right out of the chute, let alone getting a majority support after you've had ample time to do all the study work and the design work. So all of that takes a great deal of time. And so, you know, it's trying to put the cart before the horse. And so I would only suggest that they provide their input and comments and then keep following it very closely. So I think we're all aware we're still quite a ways away yet from getting a green light on that particular project.
Further questions? Thank you so much there, Brad. From here, we're going to move to the off-nets. And we've got four on the off-nets here. Joe Sousa, are you there?
Hello.
Hi. If you could spell your name, affiliation, and proceed with your testimony. Thank you.
Yes, sir. My name is Gerald Sousa, G-E-R-A-L-D, last name Sousa, S-O-U-S-A. Speaking as a private citizen, however, I'm on the Mat-Su Valley Advisory Board for Fish and Game. 40-some-year Alaska resident here in the Talkeetna area. And listening to the testimonies of others, I agree with the fear factor, so to speak. Number one, The dam project from the studies of the 1980s suggested or strongly supported the fact that the project is on a fault line. The gentleman that spoke about Talkeetna not being in the way if the dam broke, I have to disagree. I now have a trail up the Susitna River that I've been running quite a few times in preparing for my 10th Iditarod here, so I'm a dog musher as well. And looking at the topography up the river, the hills and the mountains are fairly steep above tree line, from tree line to above tree line, all the way down, far up as I'm going is about Gold Creek. So down to about mile 236 Alaska Railroad, the hills finally start to taper. It's only a few short miles from there that the water would be able to spread out, which I strongly suspect, being a layman and just looking at the topography, would wipe Talkeetna off the map, which means your decisions today are going to make a big impact on myself long after my lifetime into my children's and my grandchildren's life if that dam were ever to break. Now, looking at the local events around the world, it was just a few weeks ago that Christchurch, New Zealand, had a large dam on a fault line. The city was destroyed. So in my experience in Alaska and looking at world events, what happens on one side of the globe tends to happen on the other, which means that that fault line and Susitna Dam project could very well break the dam. Secondly, we'll go to economic value. As we look at the proposed budget of $4 billion, it doesn't take a layperson to understand, just simply reading in the newspapers, that the Anchorage Port Expansion Project is well way over budget. So I strongly suspect that this project won't be the simple $4 billion, but will more likely be the $12 billion project, which is what we'll actually be having to pay for. As far as habitat, I don't consider myself a strong environmentalist, as I own heavy equipment myself. However, in the 80s, I was a guide for a biologist going up the river doing the studies on the turbidity in April, and we found quite a bit of salmon fry, which I strongly suspect and fear, put the fear factor back in, that silt will be coming down the Susitna River in the springtime, which will effectively kill every salmon that swims as a fingerling from spawn out of the creeks into the river, will end up perishing, which will affect every sport fisherman in the Susitna drainage. So every individual in Anchorage that fishes the Mat-Su Valley won't have anything to fish for anymore. So that's a huge concern. Of course, everything goes along with water and dams. The understanding of why the rest of the country is tearing dams out and Alaska wants to build them is beyond me. See, we'll talk about loss of moose habitat because when the rivers flood, it creates new bank erosion, which allows willows to grow. Of course, with no flooding, there'll be no growth. The loss of moose habitat will occur. There's even goats that are up in that Wantana area living on the cliff sites. Those will be gone. Just numerous things that will happen because of this. The water table dropping to half the water table now, which means everybody's water for fishing, for everything, for any recreational activity will be limited. The silt buildup behind the dam is, to me, unfathomable. I just don't understand how the turbine's going to operate with all this silt unless the silt is continually being pumped down through the turbines. Then we have, when I talk about things, I like to bring about alternatives. I don't understand what happened to the gas pipeline, the bullet line from the North Slope down to even just the Fairbanks. Build power plants there, run the electricity through the intertie system, and our problems are solved. It seems to be a much more prudent thing to do than to go out and destroy a whole ecosystem such as the Susitna River drainage. And then we have another way is to improve our existing power plants for maximum efficiency and until we can figure out a way to get more energy that is needed in Alaska. But I just feel that with HB 103, while supporting quite a few of its ideas about alternative energy, I strongly suggest and would hope that this committee would strike out the specific Susitna Dam project from this type of funding. And that'll be all for now. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Sousa. Are there any questions? Representative Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Gerald, you said you were guiding, doing some fishing back in the 80s. What river were you on when you saw those smolt?
We were on the Susitna River, and I was not specifically guiding. We were specifically looking for salmon fry that were swimming in the river, clear water stream at that time. We found the smolt, and the biologist said if that dam goes through, the river will be turbid. The fish will not be able to feed because the sunlight hits the water, hits the rocks and the gravels, growing the algae and growing the bugs that the fish eat. And once that is disturbed, that you're killing everything. You're going to kill the entire Susitna River drainage of most of its fisheries. And how you can sit there and vote this through, I'm utterly surprised at this whole process, how it's going this far. Go ahead.
Are there further questions? Follow-up?
Yeah, thanks, Mr. Chairman. We were told that they didn't see more than 200 salmon when they checked this out. You think that's possible?
If there's 200 salmon, there's probably 200,000 salmon. It was one individual looking for the salmon with one person taking them up there to basically safely guide them along the edge of the river so they could find. I mean, they're basically taking a teaspoon and basically, like previously stating, a large reservoir trying to find a fish. Now, I don't know what happens to the fry when they are washed out of every creek. I suspect the fish want to get back to where they're born. That's their womb, so to speak. So somehow those fry have to get back up into the stream so they have clear water. They end up in the Susitna River drainage, but nobody knows what happens to those fry. There's never been a study that I'm aware of to monitor the fry after they are hatched. We have monitoring systems for adult salmon when they come back, but nobody knows if those fry go down the river and then turn around, gain strength, and go back up to where they were born so they could feed for the year or so that they're living in the clear water, or if they're just gone from the system. I mean, I suspect that they must swim back up as they get stronger and larger before the Susitna starts turning glacier.
All right, thank you.
Are there further questions for Mr. Sousa? Seeing none, thank you, Mr. Sousa. If we could also, on the off-nets, we have three other folks here. Carl Crossman, are you online?
Yes, sir. I'm on here. I want to thank the first three, four callers for, in their way, supporting this project I'm about to talk about. It's
I'm sorry.
From the Copper River Valley. My name is Carl Crossman, CarlCrossman.
Oh, thank you, Carl.
And the Copper River Valley is kind of like Alaska on the national weather map. People have heard of us, but they don't really know where we are because we're not connected to anything. And as far as not putting all our eggs in one basket, here is another basket that I would really like to get people familiar with, because I believe that small hydro should be supported to provide power and help reduce the fossil fuel consumption. And Copper Valley Electric's Allison Creek project should be the poster child for these things. Now, I have some great political numbers for you. It's a $32 million project. It saves 1,700,000 gallons of fuel annually. The first hydro plant in Alaska is still producing power with the original equipment 118 years later. Now, running some of these figures out, over the lifetime, it was going to save 200,600,000 gallons of fossil fuel, which may not seem to a lot in the long run unless it's filled in the Gulf or something, and then that's a lot of fuel. And if you factor that out, that means this $32 million project at $90 a barrel will pay for itself every 8 years. Over its lifetime, it would save $601 million. You can't ask for a better return on your investment than this. It's going to provide 50 to 75 jobs, anywhere from 3 months to 2.5 years. And let's see, Copper Valley Electric's not asking for a grant, for a, just an out and out give us some money and we'll go spend it. They're asking for a no interest or low interest loan or matching grants. This thing has got a great return on it. It's should be the poster child, like I say, for it, for Alaska. It's a run of the river, so there's no dam. Is not going to put Kalkeetna at risk at all. There's hardly any downside. There is no downside to this thing. We've been through the public hearings with FERC. There's about two. We got about 2.5 years invested in this. Copper Valley Electric has put about $2 million of members' money into this so far, and it's a project that could be built and up and running here in just a few years. We're not talking billions here, and we're not talking 30 years to get it online here. We're talking just a small amount of time. We just need a little help. Copper Valley Electric is a small cooperative with 3,700 members, I think it is, and we really can't afford to invest in a project that's got a serial number of 2. And unfortunately, it seems like if you approach the legislator with the idea that you can stick 2 wires in a zucchini, instantly the Zucchini Energy Act is passed, and they say back up to the vault, and we'll throw some money at you. But you've got a project that doesn't cause nuclear winter. It's a proven theory. Water does run downhill. Snow melts. It keeps creating more water and more fuel. And if you have a fuel spill at a run-of-the-river hydro plant, that means you change your socks and you wipe off your shoes. It doesn't cause nuclear winter. The existing hydro plant in Valdez, but at Copper Valley Electric, the fish like it so much every year they bring their kids back to raise them at the outlet of that river. So some of you may have seen the postcards that come through. Some of you may have received them. I just want to keep sending these through there because this is a project that needs to be done. We're not... Copper Valley Electric is not connected to the rail belt. They're not any more than America, than Alaska is connected to America's rail, the energy grid. We sustain ourselves. We wouldn't be back to the legislator again and again and again because the rates will sustain this thing once it gets built. Okay, are there any questions?
Are there any questions of the committee, Representative Peterson?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Carl, do you know what ratepayers are paying for electric over there in Copper River right now?
My last bill was 39 cents a kilowatt.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Further questions?
Just to add one more thing, this would raise Copper Valley Electric's non-fuel consumption power by 73%. It's another good electrical or good political number in there. And like I say, the first one in Juneau is still running 118 years later with the very same equipment that they put in. You can't get a better return on an investment.
Well, thank you, Mr. Crossman, and I have seen your postcards, and we appreciate getting the information. With that, if there are no other further questions, we'll move to the other off-net. Richard Leo, are you out there, Mr. Leo?
Yes, sir.
Please state your name and spell it for the record.
Richard Leo, L-E-O. I'm a resident of Trapper Creek. I've lost 30 years. I was significantly involved with the South Denali Visitor Center when it was proposed in the Alaska Range. My role was to help listen to the level of public opposition to that proposal and have that project be moved to a location that was more acceptable to the various members of the public in all spheres, from hunters and fishermen to environmentalists and snow machinists. And my reading of the level of opposition to the Susitna River Dam is such that I would like to concur with Ms. Hines that the information that is extant about the dam now does need to be more precise. I think, though, that the point of the vagueness of information about the dam, whether it will affect salmon, whether there's the capacity for flooding in Talkeetna, which, of course, for anybody who looks at a map is pretty obvious. Talkeetna has the potential to flood now naturally, and in concurrence with a dam break, it would be catastrophic. Level of information that's extant about the dam now is so minimal that it seems critical not to offer information that makes the dam look viable, but to offer information that actually is accurate about what the pros and cons are, so that the public doesn't feel like it's being railroaded into accepting this dam. I'd also like to concur with the last gentleman who spoke and with Mr. Sykes that the opportunity for smaller scale projects, I would like to think, is more viable in the short term and the long term than one massive project, which in fact will certainly be more than $5 billion. The rate of return for such a big project is dependent on so many factors and on the speed of its delivery. And if the level of public opposition is, as I suspect it could be, great enough, that could potentially even delay the final production of electricity from that dam if it were to go through. So the opportunity to explore other forms of energy that the remarkable increase in technology now is making even more likely sooner than we think seems to me to be an absolutely mandatory mandate for the Alaska Energy Authority, and certainly for the legislature to encourage, whether it be tidal or wind or some batteries, you know, to be able to store the power in the wintertime from solar or from some other alternative source. The nature of the Susitna Dam is just so huge that it will ultimately affect quite profoundly the basis of the economy of the Susitna Valley, the upper Susitna Valley certainly, which is the idea of wilderness. The fact that that area of Alaska is one of the planet's most profound and most accessible wilderness makes it seem clear that the level of economic activity based upon that notion will continue to increase, as it's increased dramatically across the last 10 or 20 years. And to denigrate that and, in fact, potentially destroy that by altering what is one of the world's great wild rivers now, whether it's to simply destroy the nature of the salmon in it or just to no longer have it be a wild river because of the dam, will affect that economy. So the potential for finding alternative sources, or many alternative sources of electricity for the rail belt, such as the line coming down to Fairbanks, the gas line, seems to me more important, much more important, than continuing to pursue the enormity of the Susitna Dam. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Leo. Are there questions? Seeing none, thank you, Mr. Leo. Cheryl Salaska, are you online?
Yeah, that was Cheryl Salaski.
Oh, Salaski, thank you. If you could spell your name and affiliation and proceed with your testimony. Thank you for calling.
Okay, thank you for the opportunity. My first name is Cheryl, spelled S-H-E-R-Y-L. My last name is Salaski, spelled S-A-L-A-S-K-Y. And I, too, don't plan on making a very long comment. I just want to say that I wholeheartedly agree with Jim Sykes. He said it much better than I, and he's done much more of his background research. But what I would like to say is I absolutely do not support the passing of House Bill 103. I am was not at all impressed with what AEA had to present to the Talkeetna residents last night. I don't think they have done nearly as much of their research as Jim Sykes has, and probably many others who spoke today. I would also, I don't know if this is the right place to say this, but in last night at the AEA public presentation in Talkeetna last night, the format to ask questions and have the, quote, authorities answer those questions was a bit frustrating because it was not all of our questions or suggestions were able to be discussed thoroughly. So many times it came up that people were offering various other ways to reduce our energy consumption by 50% by whatever year it is that is the legislature's mandating. And so people were saying, well, why can't we use solar? Why can't we use wind? And the fellow from AEA kept coming back and saying, we cannot use that, we can't use solar in the winter. Well, I wanted to suggest is perhaps why don't we, rather than throwing the billions that the people are proposing at this huge impact project of building a dam, but rather why not put half of that money or whatever amount towards developing solar for summer use, thereby taking the pressure off of the limited gas reserves that we have, and only using those in the winter when solar is not as viable an option at that point in time. A mere suggestion I wanted to offer last night, and there was no venue for that. The other comment that I wanted to make, and I think someone else echoed it here earlier, is that AEA keeps referring to Bradley Lake as, quote, its poster child. And all I want to say is please do not compare the Susitna watershed with the Bradley Lake project, because Bradley Lake cannot be used as a cookie-cutter project to do in any other system. I am a biologist. I was a biologist with Fish and Game in the mid-80s right here on the Sioux Hydro Project. And this system is, this watershed is so complex that it's the Susitna. It's not the Bradley Lake area. So all I want to say is just because some folks think that that might be working successfully there does not a successful project make here. So thank you for the time to say this. I appreciate the availability.
Thank you, Ms. Selasky. Are there questions of the committee? Seeing none, is there anyone at any of the LIOs or online who has not testified who wishes to do so? Okay, hearing none, that wraps up today's hearing. I appreciate everybody who has called in. We will not be meeting on Thursday because of the Energy Council meetings. Our next meeting will be scheduled for Tuesday, March 8th. There's no further business. We're going to go ahead and adjourn now at 3:15. 4:15.